Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 3. Matthew, chapter 3. We'll read verses 13 through 17 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Matthew, chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. Matthew, chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And let's finish with verse 17. Ready? And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you do for us. Lord, we stand before you in needy people. And Father, we don't understand why you chose to use sinners, but I guess that's all you have to work with. You did not just leave us, but you left us the Holy Spirit. Father, please fill our preacher with your power tonight as he preaches. May we have your power as we listen so that we could go out of here with your presence, with your power, and with your blessing, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
This morning I announced the title of this evening's sermon, and I have called the sermon, Don't Spook the Dove. Don't Spook the Dove. The dove is a part of the pigeon family. The mourning dove is found in every state in the United States of America. They're often white in color. The dove is a little smaller than the common pigeon. It was a dove that was used by Noah when the ark rested after the flood. There was a dove sent out. And they were looking for a place that was calm enough for the dove to feel comfortable to rest upon after the flood to see if the water had receded. Stay with me if you will, please. Don't spook the dove. In Matthew chapter 3, verse number 16, the Bible says, And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. In Mark chapter 1, verse number 10, it says, And straightway, coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens open and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. In Luke chapter 3, verse number 22, it says, And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, and thee I am well pleased. In John chapter 1, verse number 32, the Bible says, And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. I want you to notice in these four scriptures, God compares the Holy Spirit of God to the dove. Now, you say, how so or why so? Well, one of the reasons is because of the sensitivity of the Holy Spirit and how sensitive a dove is. I read to you from Isaiah chapter 60, verse number 8, where the Bible says, Who are these that fly as a cloud and as the doves to their window? This is virtually a dove that flees to a window. Doves are very sensitive. They are spooked very easily. Often they'll use white doves, maybe at a wedding or at some big event, because once they let them out of their cage, they fly to the sky very, very quickly. They're not apt to go over and rest or relax somewhere. The minute they're let go in the presence of people, they spook easily and they race to the sky. See, the dove spooks very easily. The dove is very sensitive. If they are not comfortable with their surroundings, they will quickly fly away. If they feel unwanted, they go to where they are wanted. Now, God compares the Holy Spirit to the dove. Why? Because the Holy Spirit also is very sensitive. You see, just like the dove, the Holy Spirit wants to be wanted. The Holy Spirit wants to be invited. He is so sensitive. He wants to be invited over and over again. He wants to be invited to every service. He wants to be invited into your life every day. He must be invited for every task. You will not invite the Holy Spirit to come and be with you on Monday and then ignore him on Friday and expect him to still be lingering. It doesn't work that way. You must be conscious of the need of the Holy Spirit of God in your life. He does not come to stay, but he wants to stay, but he has to know that you want him to stay, and you must say to him constantly, I want you here. I want you here. I want you here. I want you here. If not, he's like a dove. You'll spook him. He'll fly to the sky. You see, he must be given the impression that he can have freedom to do his work without restraint. He will not force himself upon you. If he feels unwanted, he will simply and quietly fly away unnoticed. Now, I realize that the Holy Spirit of God is sealed within you, but we are talking about his influence. He, if you would like, you could say he'll fly to a distant part of you, but he will not force himself upon you. If you don't submit yourself to him, if you don't give the impression that you want his influence in everything you do, he gently walks a distance and waits at a distance for you to invite him again. For instance, in Judges chapter 16, verse number 20, we see the story of a man by the name of Samson. The Bible says this, and she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. It is said of Samson more than any other man that the Spirit of God came upon him. Over and over and over again, this powerful man named Samson, the Bible says that the Spirit of God came upon him. But Samson was not tender and delicate about the Spirit of God's presence in his life. So the Spirit of God had departed from him quietly, so quietly he did not even know that he had lost God's power in his life. That's why it says, and he wist not that the Lord had departed from him. Oh, Christian, listen to me tonight. Be careful. The Holy Spirit is like a dove. Don't offend him. Don't spook him. Don't grieve him. Don't quench him. Don't insult him. Willingly depend on him to do that which he wants to do for you. Love the Holy Spirit of God. Be gentle with the dove of the Holy Spirit. Be friendly toward the dove of the Holy Spirit. Consciously desire his presence. Hey, invite him into all that you do. Be affectionate toward the Holy Spirit of God. Want him in every area of your life. You see, if we spook him, we are left to do God's work on our own. And that is sure failure. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 says this, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. We in ourselves are not sufficient, folks, but the Spirit of God giveth life to our service to God. Your personality is not enough. You need to add to your personality and the presence of the dove of the Holy Spirit of God. If you spook him, he flies away. Now, you must depend on you, and you're just not adequate, and I am not adequate. You see, without the Holy Spirit of God, enthusiastic things become unenthusiastic. Exciting things become boring. With him is life. His absence kills spiritual productivity. His presence electrifies and shows power in what goes on. He's like a dove. He's easily spooked. Be aware. Be cautious for his presence's sake. You see, you and I, we need to be as sensitive to his being comfortable with us as he is sensitive about our desire for his presence. I say to you, don't spook the Holy Spirit. Don't spook him. Don't scare him away. Remember, he's sensitive. He's like a dove. The Bible says it over and over again. The dove of the Holy Spirit. Somehow, we get this idea. He comes around and stays around no matter what we do, and that's not true. There are people in this building tonight. There was a time when the dove of the Holy Spirit felt comfortable with you, but you spooked him. He's on the outside looking in, wishing that he had control of your life, but he does not. You've lost it. You've lost it. But you don't know it, because neither did Samson. Because the Holy Spirit tiptoes out. He's not trying to make a scene. Listen to me, if you will, as I speak to you on the subject, don't spook the dove. Don't spook the dove. Don't spook the dove of comfort. You see, the Bible says in John 14:26, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things." Here the Bible tells us that one of the jobs of the heavenly dove is to comfort us. If I try to comfort myself, he will quietly fly away, feeling unwanted and unneeded. May I say to you, your heavenly dove can comfort you and far exceed talking to yourself. Indeed, I think you should talk yourself through some things, but I need to give you some good advice. You better talk to the heavenly dove first. He is the great comforter. We are humanists sometimes at heart. We seem to think that we're to get it done without him. No, we're to get it done with him, and he ought to be at the top of our list when we're seeking comfort. When you seek pity of others, you spook the Holy Spirit away. Nowhere in the Bible does it teach that a Christian is supposed to go around whining and seeking pity. You ever met a person when you say, "How's it going?" and they say, "Well, I'm going okay. I'm glad you asked." Well, I'm not going to ask you the next time then. We're not to be seeking pity. We can seek comfort from the Holy Spirit of God. When you let some drug calm you down, you spook him away. When you let somebody else do all the calming, he says, "I guess you don't need me." When you run the man before you run the God, you spook the Holy Spirit. Hey, you can go to man. That's okay. But can I ask you all to do me a favor? Lots of people come to me for comfort, and I love you, and I want to comfort you. But you're going to wear me out if you expect me to do all the comforting, because I'm a man. I am not God. I am not the Holy Spirit of God. The first thing you need to do when you're hurt is get to the Holy Spirit and say, "Oh, God, help me." Then get some help from the man of God. But you got to put God first. He is a great comforter. I cannot do what he can do. I'll try to help you. I'll try to carry your load. But I say to you, you always need to go to the Holy Spirit first. Ask him to comfort you. Invite him to do what he already wants to do. Let him know he's wanted. Let him know he's needed. Let him know that he is desired. Oh, I'm telling you, I feel the devil's arrows penetrate my heart. I say, "Oh, Lord, where am I going to go for comfort? Where do I go?" Well, I go to the great comforter. He said, "But Owen, how do you take it? How are you going to make it? I've already ran to the superior comforter. I've already gone and said, 'God, I need you. You've got to help me. You've got to see me through.'" He can comfort any heart, but he's got to know that he's wanted. Why is it that we panic and we run to other things and other people first? There's no problem with you getting comfort from a loved one. There's no problem with you coming to the pastoral staff. But can I say to you tonight, don't spook the dove. Get to him first. Say, "Spirit of God, do for me what I can't do for myself. Comfort me. Spirit of God, comfort me in a way that man cannot comfort me." The reason why some of you seem to be comfortless, you spooked the dove. You didn't go to him first. You didn't go to him first. Don't chase the dove of comfort out of your life. He's sensitive, you see. If he's not wanted, he'll go stand in the background. Oh, my friend, don't let the mighty comforter of the universe go stand in the background. Put him forefront in your life. Let him comfort you. Oh, and what a blessed comfort the Holy Spirit of God can bring. He can comfort you from the inside out. He can do something on the inside you. God, hey, when it's God patting you on the back saying, "It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. I'm going to see you through it. It's going to be fine." Boy, there's something awful precious about the hand of God patting you on the back saying, "It's going to be all right." Don't spook the comforter. Don't spook him. Let me say secondly, don't spook the dove that gives us spiritual strength. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse number 26, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Here the Bible talks about our infirmities. It's talking about our weaknesses. It's talking about our shortcomings. But notice, it says here, but the Spirit will help us with what? Our infirmities. You see, it is the dove of the Holy Spirit that can strengthen your weaknesses. See, if I do my spiritual work in my strength, he will quietly stand on the sideline wishing that he were allowed to help. You, some of you, you try to do everything you do, but you do it in the flesh. You do it with your own strength. Hey, you cannot live the Christian life successfully without the Holy Spirit helping you to do it. There are some of you saying, but Lord, I've had it. I hear this preaching around here and this teaching around here. I can't do it. You're right. You can't do it by yourself. But there's something about when you call upon that heavenly dove and say, I can't do this by myself. Oh, Holy Spirit, dove, come and help me. And suddenly you get the strength of the dove aiding you. You've got to have his strength. He will watch you struggle wishing he could help you. He wants to strengthen you. If I supply my own limited power, he feels I don't need his unlimited power, and he flies away just to watch me flounder trying to do it by myself. If I do God's work without asking for his strength, he takes it as a rejection, and he steps aside. He's very shy. You see, he's like a dove. He's very sensitive. He will not force his strength upon you. Somebody here tonight, I could help you revolutionize your Christianity. If you would just stop trying to give up your sin by yourself, you would say, I've got to have strength, and I can't figure out where to get it. I've tried and I failed, and I tried and I failed, and I tried and I failed. If I could just get you to say, me and the Holy Spirit tried, we tried together, that's what we're looking for. Don't spook the dove. Don't spook him. He's there to add strength to you. He will not argue with you about his strength. It's there for the using. Just ask for it. If not, he will patiently and timidly wait until he is wanted. It is not our job to show God how strong we are. It is our job to let him show us how strong he is. When my boys were little, they always used to get a kick out of, I'd flex. Now, folks, I'm going to flex my muscles. Some of you women don't look for long because your husband's going to be humiliated here. But I would flex my muscle. My boys would come over and grab that thing and hang on it and say, wow, look at that, Daddy. Let me tell you something better than that. I have a Heavenly Father. And every once in a while I say, Heavenly Father, flex the muscle of your strength in my life. Hey, my God is so big, so strong and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do. So many of us, we are not letting the Holy Spirit be our comforter. We spook him out of our life. We're not letting the Holy Spirit be the strength of our life. We spook him out of our life. Thirdly, don't spook the dove who is your ultimate teacher. Don't spook the dove who is your ultimate teacher. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, the Bible says this, but as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the hearts of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Here the Bible says his Spirit reveals things to us. His Spirit reveals the deep things of God to us. Hey, when you're reading your Bible, you need to invite the Holy Spirit to come and be your guide. You need that. Why? He is your ultimate teacher. If I read the Bible and I use my own insight, he will not pursue me with his insight. Why? He's sensitive. He's spooked easily. When you want to do it on your own, he doesn't say, I'm going to force myself on you. That is not the way the Holy Spirit of God is. He does not force himself upon you. You've got to want him. He's got to feel wanted and invited and desired. He's got to know that you want him to be involved. Hey, when I study for the sermons that I preach in this church, I spend a lot of time saying, Spirit of God, lead me. 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 I want this done your way. Listen to me, my friend. If I study the Bible depending on my own wisdom, he'll let me impress myself. knowing that his wisdom would have been far better. Oh, you better be careful. If you're real educated, you may think that you can be spiritual and you don't need God. Well, I've got news for you, my friend. I don't care how big your brain is and how many degrees you have. You need God to be your teacher. You need the Holy Spirit of God to teach you. If I use the Bible and calling upon my own human logic, he will gently take leave and allow me to logic alone. If I invite him to be my study guide, he will lead me to new heights of scriptural understanding. You know something? You ever read a verse and read a verse and read a verse and read a verse and read a verse, same verse over and over and over again? One day the preacher got up and preached on it and you said, wow, I never seen that before. Why? The Holy Spirit of God had gotten a hold of that preacher and taught us the deep things of God. There was more there than what we could see with our carnal eye. But you got to be careful though. Don't spook the dove. He's your ultimate teacher. Ask him to rest upon your ears as a preacher is preaching or as a teacher is teaching. Why? Because if you'll ask the Holy Spirit, if you'll ask that dove to rest upon your ears, the Holy Spirit of God, and give you, he'll come and give you a perception that you've never had before. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 2, verse number 7, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. It says that again in Revelation 2:11, identically. Revelation 2:17, 2:29, Revelation 3:6, Revelation 3:13, Revelation 3:22. 7 times it says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. What God's saying? God's saying, don't spook the dove. You need him as you listen. You need him. He will teach you on the inside as the teacher's teaching on the outside. You see, we need Holy Spirit perception. And Holy Spirit perception, it's necessary for you to absorb the truth. Listen in the Spirit, and you'll hear more. How is it that a sermon can be preached from this pulpit? The very same sermon, the very same church service, the very same preacher, the very same truth, and there's one in this auditorium that gets you on fire for God and says, that's going to revolutionize my life. Somebody else walks away saying, that was boring. Didn't get anything out of that. What happened? Somebody spooked the Holy Spirit away, and the other said, Spirit, come. I want to get it. There are two people identically in this church, both suffer or struggle with the same sin. A sermon is preached. One walks away victorious. Another walks away downcast and defeated. What happened? One listened in the Spirit. The other listened in the flesh. The one that listened in the Spirit of God came and said, I can strengthen you. I can comfort you. I can change you. The other was depending on themselves to be spiritual, and they didn't make it. Same sermon, same Bible, same preacher, same church. A difference in spiritual perception. Don't spook the Spirit. Don't spook the dove away from you. Listen in the Spirit. Hear about the dove that went into a restaurant? He asked the waitress, got any dove food? No, I haven't. Now get out of here, said the waitress. Next day, the dove went back to the restaurant again and said, you got any dove food? I told you yesterday, we don't have any dove food. Now get out of here. The next day, the dove went back to the same restaurant and said, you got any dove food? Look, said the owner, if you come in here asking for dove food again, I'm going to nail your beak to this floor. Now you get out of here. The next day, the dove showed up. Said to the restaurant owner, you got any nails? Restaurant owner said, no. Said, ha, got any dove food? Listen to me, my friend. If you want to be fed, I've got a pizza coming to me now. You heard it. Did anybody hear it? I've got extra sensory perception on telephones going off. Make that a large Pizza Hut. Listen to me. If you want... You come to this church and say, well, I'm not being fed. That's funny. The other 1,000 people are. You're saying it's my broken voice. I'm wondering if it's your broken ears. You see, the Holy Spirit. God said the Spirit came as a dove. One of the characteristics of the dove is that sensitivity, that gentle, that they're spooked quite easily. Don't spook the dove of comfort out of your life. Don't spook the dove that brings spiritual strength to you. Don't spook the dove that is your ultimate teacher. Number four, don't spook the dove who magnifies your teaching, who magnifies your preaching, and magnifies your leadership. You are not to lead in the flesh. Every parent here, every person with any type of a leadership position in this church, this sermon will make a total difference in your ministry. You should not spook the Holy Spirit away from your teaching. You should not speak. You should not spook the Holy Spirit away from your preaching. You should not spook the Holy Spirit away from your leadership. I don't care what position you have around here. You ought to do it in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Isaiah 61, verse 1 and 2. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted and to proclaim liberty to the captives." You see, to teach or to preach in your own power is weakness. To teach or preach in your own power is truly unproductive. You should ask the Holy Spirit to control your voice in all that you do. You should ask the Holy Spirit to control your thoughts as you teach and your thoughts as you preach. You should ask the Holy Spirit of God to control your fingers as you type letters. You're not to do the work of God in the flesh. I don't care what job it is. You say, "All I do is mow the yard out here." You ought to be mowing out there in total submission to the Holy Spirit of God. You see, if you try to teach in your own power, he goes to sit in the back of the classroom and watches as your students are bored. Invite him to control your teaching. Let him teach through you. Every bus captain, every bus worker here, let me tell you how to just turn your bus route upside down for God. Get the Holy Spirit of God feeling comfortable. But he spooked. We spook him away. I'll do it myself. I've been a bus captain for a long time. I don't care if you've been a bus captain ever since Noah came over on the ark. If you don't have the dove, you're nothing. You're merely an entertainer. You need the Holy Spirit of God. Hey, Sunday school teacher, as you stand and teach, the Holy Spirit of God ought to be invited to that classroom. The Holy Spirit of God ought to be controlling your mind, ought to be controlling your voice. Hey, Martinsburg Christian Academy teacher, you could make your classroom something new if the Spirit of God was invited. Hey, parent, get the Holy Spirit of God involved in your child rearing. Oh, Spirit of God, I want to be the right kind of preacher. Oh, Spirit of God, I don't want to scare you away. Spirit of God, I want you to come as I teach. I want you to come as I preach. I want you to come as I lead. If you try to lead in your own power, he quietly sits out of sight, waiting for you to want him. And he wants to come show you how it's really done. You need to lead in the Spirit. Invite him to take over. You could pick some of your leadership flaws if you just let him intervene. He won't force himself upon you. Can I tell you something that's missing? Sometimes we want to go out soul winning, and we want to do it in our training and in our personality when the Spirit of God is the one that draws people to the Savior. You, before you go out soul winning, say, "Spirit of God, you're invited." And I tell you something. If you're riding around in a car with somebody else and gossiping and backbiting and talking negative, you just scare the Holy Spirit of God away from you and you're soul winning. The people die and go to hell because you spooked the Spirit during the soul winning time. He wants to be wanted. He's the ultimate teacher. Let him make you a successful teacher. Let him make you a successful preacher. Hey, some of you young preacher boys in here, and I'm glad we've got a handful of them. I know you're a little fearful. You say, "But oh, I don't know if I can do it. I don't know if I can be a speaker. I don't know if I can stand up and preach." I've got good news for you, young man. If you'll keep that attitude and go to the Holy Spirit of God and say, "I don't think I can do this by myself," he'll say, "Watch what I can do with you." It's the ones that say, "I can do it. I can make it. I can take it. Hey, I can do this without him." Those are the ones that are going to flop and fall flat on their face and all they become are entertainers in the pulpit. No, we want the Spirit of God moving. You can't change people on your own. It takes the Spirit of God, that heavenly dove, to come and set a revival among the people. He's the ultimate teacher. He's the ultimate leader. If you try to preach using your own talent and personality, he'll let you. minute you step into the pulpit or step into your classroom, and you're just going to take care of it yourself. You know, you've got it together. You know how to talk. You went to some seminars. You passed speech class. The minute you step in and plan to do it on your own, he goes over and sits down and says, all right, you go ahead. I guess you don't need me. And let me say to you today, he will fly away to go help someone who wants help. The Spirit of God can take a boring classroom and give it life. He can take a terrible speaker and empower him to be a miraculous speaker. Don't spook the dove. Desire him and let him know it. You know, every Sunday morning, I think probably every Sunday morning since I became the pastor of this church, after I've introduced the visitors, I say, I'm glad you're here this morning, but there's someone more important than you that is present today. It's the Holy Spirit of God. He is wanted here. If you've ever sat in a counseling session with me, you'll hear me say, Spirit of God, come. Guide us during this counseling session. Guide us. Please. Guide us. Why? Why? We can't do this on our own. No, you can't do great spiritual things unless you have the great spiritual champion, which is the Holy Spirit of God helping you. Hey, get this. Don't spook the dove, who is the great musical maestro. Oh, the greatest music produced is produced by the Spirit of God leading that music and controlling it. Listen to this. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 and 19, the Bible says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Notice, God said, I want you to be filled with the Spirit in verse number 18. And he went from there right into the right kind of music, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. That's not an accident. That is not an accident. God knew how powerful music would be. God knew that if music would be controlled by the Spirit of God, not the emotion of man, not the desire, not the rhythm of man, the rhythm of God, not the melody of man, but the melody of God. That heart of God that throbs and beats, and God wants the music to be the kind of music that brings peace to the heart of God. When a soloist sings with the Holy Spirit, his music is heartwarming and life-changing. When she sings on her own, though she's just another entertainer, when you get up here to sing any song and you've not submitted yourself to the Holy Spirit of God, he goes and sits down and says, will you sing this one without me? I'll wait right over here. Maybe someday you'll let me sing with you again. When a quartet sings, having invited the dove to use them, their music makes a spiritual impact. When they sing depending solely on their own talent, though, they shortchange God. They shortchange everybody else. The dove shies away. When an accompanist surrounds her fingers and surrenders her fingers to the Holy Spirit of God, God can use every note to do a work for God. You should not sit at that piano and use your talent. You should not sit at that piano and say, well, I know music theory. I need you to know the Holy Spirit of God. Musicians are a dime a dozen. You can find them anywhere. I know churches that go out and hire professionals to come in and play piano. I need somebody that can play the piano. Surrender to the Spirit of God. Somebody that plays the organ and says, Holy Spirit of God, take my music. Though there are no words, take it. Take it and use it and multiply it and do something with it. Song leaders need the dove's help. The most important thing for Greg Nash is not his ability to read music. It is his walk with God, where the Spirit of God is upon him as he leads his great congregation. And you know it's there. It's there. Some people say, well, wait, if somebody knew a little bit more about this or a little bit more about that, about music, I've seen them. I've seen the ones that know all about it, but they don't know God. The Holy Spirit of God, see. We spook him. We spook him. We spook him away. Congregational singing is best when the dove is at liberty. Don't spook him away. Spirit-filled singing takes old-fashioned hymns and makes them come alive. I recently had someone say to me, I don't like your church. They visited here. I don't like your church. All you sing in the congregational songs are those old-time hymns. That's what they said. They said, to me, that's boring. You know, that's really funny to me. Because the truth of the matter is, our old-time hymns are not boring at all here. They're not boring at all. See, what they do, is they're getting all this new rock and country and contemporary gospel, trying to make up for the absence of the Holy Spirit. Say, yeah, but that old stuff's boring. Well, it wasn't when we depended on the Holy Spirit while we sang Amazing Grace. It wasn't when we depended on the Holy Spirit to sing There's a New Name Written Down in Glory. Sure, you're going to have to replace the old time ways and conjure up your own spirit if you won't go back to the Spirit of God and a man of God leading the music that is surrendered to the Holy Spirit of God. You give me a congregation of people that are surrendered to the Holy Spirit of God. You give me a song leader that's surrendered to the Holy Spirit of God. You give me an organist and a pianist and a choir that's surrendered to the Holy Spirit of God. Get up and sing, "What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." And the people will get excited and God will get to begin to move. We don't have to have Christian rock and roll. We've got to have the Holy Spirit in our music. They're replacing it everywhere. They're replacing it with the new trash because they don't want the old Holy Ghost in their old-time hymns. Don't tell me you can't have exciting, old-fashioned gospel hymns. Indeed, you can. Indeed, you can. We want to replace the Holy Spirit's influence. Let me ask you to do this, and I'm finished. Don't spook the dove. Don't spook the dove. We've got some excitement around here. Oh, we've had a perpetual 6-year revival. Week in, week out, week in, week out, week in, week out. God keeps moving. God keeps working. Oh my, oh my, oh my. Please help me. I call upon the congregation of the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. Help me guard the Spirit. Help me guard the Holy Spirit's presence in this place. Before I became your pastor, there's a church in California that called me. I think there were 27 different churches that had contacted me and asked me if I would consider coming and being their pastor. There's a church in California, I will not tell you the city, some of you would know of it. There's a church that was running 5,000 people in the late 70s and early 80s. A mega church. I believe a church that could develop into the largest Sunday school in the nation. Big buildings. Massive parking lots, old-time, fundamental Baptist church, King James Bible, hard-hitting, straight-shooting, deep-loving. They called me about 6.5 years ago and said, "Brother Owens, would you come and be our pastor? Will you come and check us out?" But by that time, they were running 140. Why? There was a day when the Spirit of God felt comfortable in that church. 5,000 people would flock to the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. Many years later, somebody or many somebodies had spooked the Holy Spirit away. That which used to be enthusiastic was now dead and dry and boring. Let's not have it happen here. Let's not let it happen here. Disunity, that spooks the Holy Spirit. He said, "I don't feel comfortable around that." Discord, "I don't feel comfortable around that." Revenge and hate and rebellion, that spooks the Holy Spirit. I beg of you. I beg of you, leave the dove alone. Leave the dove alone. My staff will tell you, I run frantically from problem to problem in the church. You know what I'm constantly doing? I'm trying to protect the dove. I'll say, "Dove, please, I'll get this fixed. I'll get those two people that can't get along. I'll fix it. I'll fix it. God, I'll do what I can. But don't leave. Don't leave." Well, somebody's angry. What are you going to do? I run over and I say, "Please, we got to calm down. Please be careful." I run to fix it. I run here to fix it. I run here to fix it. I run here to fix it. You fall. You go into sin. I run to try to get you. Why? Don't spook the dove. Don't chase him off, I beg of you. There are churches all over the country that would like to have the presence of a holy dove. Don't spook the dove. Don't spook the dove. Don't chase him off. He's special. He wants to be wanted. Don't drive him away. And every one of us, I'll tell you the way I live my life. As I'm making decisions all day long, I'm constantly asking myself, is this going to quench the Spirit? I don't want to take a chance. I don't want to take a chance. I don't want to scare him away.
I don't want to lose his presence. I don't want to lose that. He's here. I want him to be here. I'd rather have him here than you. I'd like to have you both. Oh, be careful. Be careful. Don't spook the dove. Don't spook the dove who is our comforter. Don't spook the dove who is the one that gives us our strength. Don't spook the dove, the one who teaches us the deeper things of God. Don't spook the dove in your preaching and teaching and in your leadership. Don't spook the dove in your music. Don't spook the dove in our church. We're a unified group and say we're perfect. We all have a bump here and a bump there in the road. Sure. When you get down, get right back up. Get right back in the saddle. I don't think the dove runs off when you stumble a little bit. But in your heart, you say, I'll get this fixed. I'll get this fixed. It's when we stumble and we stay down. It's when we rebelliously turn on God, God's church, God's man, God's things. Oh, don't spook the dove. He's tender. He's sensitive. His presence is the most valuable presence in the New Testament church. Let's make the dove comfortable. Let's make him comfortable in the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him. They saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, lighting upon him. Let it be said that the dove of the Spirit of God has landed at the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church, and the congregation's committed. We don't want to spook the dove. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, every head bowed.